Now to him who loved us and washed our sins in his own blood, as may as kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our sermon text today comes to us from St. John chapter 15, beginning at the first 8 verses. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he is going to cut off. And he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I am going to remain in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit, and prove to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father and through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, dear sons and daughters of the King. April showers bring May flowers. We find ourselves here in the month of May, and we are undeniably well into spring. Even in some northern parts of our country, by the time May rolls around, the weather is pretty all-around great. Spring is the season of new life. Just look outside here, our church this morning. Everything is budding, or it's already blooming. The thing that you discover in spring is all the new growth. Sometimes there is overgrowth that needs to be cut back. Sometimes, though, there is lack of growth, which is evident and disappointing. Maybe that turf that you planted in fall has failed to blossom like you were expecting. Maybe weeds are choking out something where you would expect life to be. Spring is the season of new life, but it's also the season for the lawnmower and the pulling of weeds. Where are we at with our growth? Are we budding? And are we blooming as we should? Are we lacking growth? Or are we growing wild? Do we need to be trimmed away? These are important questions to ask yourself, and sometimes the answers can be hard to swallow. In our text this morning, we see where true growth and true life comes from. The vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ. He is our lifeline because it is only through him that we truly have life. We need to be cut away in a way that keeps that vine flowing to us. If we are in the vine, fruits are produced. The key of all of this, of course, is the connection to Christ. If we don't have that connection, well, we're going to wither away. We're going to die. But if we do have that connection, we will live, and we will certainly bloom. So we pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The context of these words of Jesus found in John 15 can sometimes be lost on us. These words, after all, are quite iconic. One could easily forget that Jesus spoke this whole sermon that goes into chapter 16 as well, while the disciples were moving from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane in Holy Week. As they approached that garden, Jesus had something to say. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he is going to cut off. and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. One of the busiest weeks in the history of Earth, of course, Holy Week. There is much that happened in that week that we have recorded for us in the Bible. Another event of Holy Week that often gets overlooked, but provides some background here for our sermon text, is an event where Jesus had an encounter with a certain fig tree as he was going to the temple. From Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, "Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.'" Seems like quite the strange event and quite the strange thing to say to a tree. Why would Jesus curse that fig tree? Well, Jesus was hungry and he thought he might get some food on his trip here. He saw leaves on the tree, so you would think there might be fruit there. But no fruit was to be found because, as Mark tells us, it was not the season for figs. After all, if you had apple trees like we do here in the parsonage lot, you wouldn't expect apples in May. September, October, certainly, but not May. But this cursing of the tree was not done out of anger on Jesus' part or even hunger. Rather, it was done for the sake of the disciples. Most miracles of Christ have to do with restoration. He restored the sight to the blind. He restored health to the leper. He restored the dead to life even. But his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to heal, yes, but it also has the power to cut. And that power was wielded here. On the return trip back from to Bethany from Jerusalem, the disciples noticed that very same tree and saw it withered away and dried up to its roots. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Jesus is the true vine. There are plenty of other vines out there, if you will, many other different things that one can believe in. But there is only one true vine, only one thing worth believing in, Jesus. He is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. No matter who you are, if you believe in Jesus, well, then you are a branch of his. But also, no matter who you are, the gardener is going to cut you. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he's going to cut off. And he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. This verse 2 speaks to two different sets of people. It speaks to the Christian, and it speaks to those who claim to be Christian. If you only claim to be a Christian, you don't truly believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord, your God, your Savior, true man, true God, well, you're going to be cut off. That life-saving force that restores us is gone when there is no faith. But to those who also believe, there is a cutting still. Why? So you will bear more fruit. This cutting of the fruit-bearing branches happens in two ways. First, it happens through strengthening your faith. You are pruned, if you will, by testing and by tribulation. That is how faith can be emboldened. I have a pastor colleague of mine who once told me a story told to him by one of his members. When she told him the story, she was an old woman, but in her youth, she grew up during the Great Depression. As a young girl during that depression, she and her whole family watched one night as their entire house burned down to the ground. All their earthly possessions gone just like that. She remembered thinking and telling my pastor friend, I knew in that moment that the only way we would survive was by trusting in God alone. And the same is true with us here today. The only thing that can't be removed from you is your faith in Jesus Christ. And that is why God prunes that faith. It increases our dependence on him, because at the end of the day, truly there's nothing else to depend on. And the second way that those fruit-bearing branches are cut is by the law. Yes, we believe Jesus has saved us from our multitude of sins, and yet, well, we keep on sinning. We believe, but we certainly need help with that unbelief. And that's what the law shows us. It shows us that we are sinful, and we have sinned against our God and our fellow man. We are cut to the heart when we realize this, and that is the pruning process that the law provides. And yet, fruits get produced despite how sinful we are. 3 and 4, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'm going to remain in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's a connection here in the text in Greek to an English word of ours. In verse 2, when Jesus says he prunes, and then in verse 3, when he says you are already clean, it's the same type of word. And that word for pruning and or cleaning idea is the same word in our English known as catharsis. The definition of catharsis is a purification or purgation that brings about spiritual renewal or release from tension. And that, quite simply, of course, is what the gospel does. It tells us that we are forgiven. We are made clean, as Jesus says here. You are already clean through the death and resurrection of him, of course. Jesus hadn't died yet when he spoke this to his disciples on the way to the garden, but his death has that same cleansing power before his life and death and after it, even still today. Through that death and resurrection, that conquering of death, we have spiritual renewal, truly, and release. If the goal is to be fruitful, to bear fruits, as clearly the case is seen through the example of the fig tree, well, there is only one way to go about it, and that is to remain in the vine. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's heavy emphasis in this text on the word fruit. In 8 verses of this text, it's mentioned 7 different times. Why? Well, there's an emphasis on producing fruits here, because that is the natural result of what faith produces, fruits of faith. But there is only so much that we can see from our perspective. Perhaps you know of a person who you don't think has any faith, and yet you can see them doing all kinds of good things. This is certainly possible. We see people all the time who do great things, great accomplishments, at least in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of God, true deeds can only be done through the good Savior. An atheist can be morally or civically righteous, and this would be a blessing for us, for our environment, but it does nothing for that person's soul. The only way you can produce good fruits, truly, is through Jesus. How do we go on doing that, living fruitful and productive lives in Christ? Well, living in Christ alone. Yes, the word fruit is emphasized 7 different times in this text. But in those same 8 verses, the word remain is used 8 times. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's quite simple. We need to remain in Jesus. If we remain in him, we'll be fruitful. Connection to the vine, Jesus is the key on being fruitful. Verses 6 and 7, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. The branches that are dead only have one use, and that is the burn pile. My own personal burn pile in my backyard has gotten large as of late. It's full of leaves from last fall and the fall prior to that. It has branches of bushes long since dead. And it also contains many different blackberry vines. If I was looking to go blackberry picking and I went to my burn pile, how many berries do you think I would get? Well, none, of course. The burn pile is only good for burning. And even that, I don't really get a benefit out of that burning. I do it to clear the stuff away. The faithless soul is also only worthy for the burn pile. That is not a joyful statement to make. Rather, it's a stark reminder. It's something that we need to remind ourselves of as well. What do we deserve? Did we deserve to be lovingly pruned, tenderly looked after by the Father? No. We deserve to be whacked and slashed away, cleared out. This is the case for any person who has ever lived. Paul quotes in Romans 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." But that is why Jesus came. The one who cursed that fig tree would be lifted up and die on the cursed tree. He did so to pay for the sins of the whole world. They were all bundled up and put on that sinless Lamb of God. The punishment that our sins deserved placed upon him. Jesus was thrown into the burn pile and consumed. He suffered the pains of hell on the cross. Why would he do that? Well, he says in John chapter 10, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." We too only deserved God's wrath and punishment. But instead, we have been given an opportunity to be grafted in to that vine. Paul builds on this picture in his epistle to the Romans. "And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the oil tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, 'Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in.' Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear." What's the point of that picture? Well, it's a blessing that we, the wild trees, have been given the gift of life and the fruit that it produces. What do we do as a result? Remain. Remain in the Word. Remain in the church. Remain in the sacrament and the Word. Remain in Bible class. Remain in personal study of that Word. If you don't, you're going to dry up. So, stay connected. The fruit of the vine and the bread of life, that true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, which we are about to receive here today, that is one way how we are watered, fed, and connected. Why do we need this close communion, this close connection? Well, because apart from Jesus, there's nothing we can do. This one verse in this text really summarizes the whole thing up quite well in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. The point that Jesus makes there, it's quite clear, and it's something you learn over time, a lifetime of failure. We need him. Self-reliance is something that gets propped up in our society. Self-made men are looked up to. It's good, of course, to be able to provide for yourself and to your family and not have to rely on charity. But no one truly relies on themselves. No one pulls themselves up by their own bootstraps. You can be misled in our culture to believe that, but the Christian knows from the Word of God that only by God are we able to do anything at all. He says here that those who remain in the vine may ask for whatever they wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus says a similar thing when talking about the fig tree. Connection to the vine is how we have that power. Jesus is the key. He is the key to life, because the vine, it's not dead. Rather, that vine is alive and it is the entire source of life itself. Jesus, yes, he died to pay for our sins, but he was also raised for our justification. This vine lives, and it brings us back to life as well. There is catharsis through that vine. We are made clean. Through that cleansing, we're not picked clean. Rather, we have produced multiple fruits. We are able to do good deeds and great things through the power of the vine. No longer do we need to shout at the top of our lungs like the lepers did, unclean, unclean. No, now we are white as wool and as fruitful as the vine is itself. Spring is the season for new life. Growth. Everywhere you go, you'll see green. You'll see blooming. We have been given both through Jesus. Whereas we once were dead and unfruitful truly, we have now been given life and produced fruits in abundance. Therefore, dear Christians, remain. Remain in that way, truth, and life, Jesus Christ. Remain in his word. Let that new life flow through you and direct your steps home to heaven. Jesus is the true vine, the one and only. We are his branches. Even though, yes, we are truly worthy of that eternal burn pile, he has pruned us into living, fruitful branches that reflect his glory. Let yourself be tended to by the Father, your guardian, and your gardener. Let the law remove away anything that hinders you from that vine. Then let yourself be cleansed, be clean, by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. And then remain in it. Without Jesus, well, we're worthless. We're unclean. With him, we are fruitful. And we are alive forevermore. Praise and thanks be to the living Lord, the eternal vine whom you have been grafted into. Amen. Please rise.